Today's Minnesota Reads is made possible by the Bookstore at Fitgers, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitgers on Superior Street. Online at fitgersbookstore.com. This morning, I am pleased to welcome to our airwaves Michelle Hensley. She is the author of a book called All the Lights On, Reimagining Theater with 10,000 Things. And she joins us on the phone this morning, live from Brooklyn, New York. Michelle, what are you doing out in Brooklyn?
Oh, my daughter lives out here, so I'm actually sitting in her apartment right now. I'm just visiting.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The weather is much nicer in Minnesota right now than it is in New York City, just so everyone knows.
Well, I feel bad that you're there. Obviously, there won't be any theater at all for you to enjoy while you're in New York.
Nothing to do out here, yeah.
Your book is a really remarkable book. I was excited to read it because theater has been a part of my growing up, and it's been one of my passions for many years, and I thought this will be wonderful. And the more I read, the more I guess I thought everyone should read the book.
Thank you.
You talk about something called radiance. And I think the first thing to do, perhaps, is for you to explain a little bit about what you consider radiance. It's a way that you describe a very specific dynamic between an audience and the theater company, the folks that are performing a show.
Yeah, I think radiance are those moments when, through theater, by the act of being in the presence of another human being and engaging with your imagination through the stories that you tell, you're sort of the deepest part of yourself is touched on. And it's almost like we have little suns buried inside ourselves. And through the stimulation of theater, somehow the coverings of those suns kind of goes away, and we reveal this deep, radiant part of ourselves. It can just last for just a moment. But in 10,000 Things Theater, it tends to happen quite a bit.
Now, one of the things, I guess, that people need to understand about 10,000 Things Theater, and maybe, obviously, this is where I should have started, is that your theater company comes to people. You don't ask people to come to you. Usually, you come to people, and you come to different people than what we might think of as the conventional theater goer. Explain that just a bit.
Yeah, that's right. Well, when I just was trying to figure out if I wanted to spend my life doing theater, I did spend some time thinking about the things I didn't like about theater, and one of those things was that it seemed to leave a lot of people out. My grandpa was a farmer in Iowa, and he lost his land in the Depression. He was a really smart guy. He always wore his overalls and his seed cap. But I knew he would enjoy theater, but I just always imagined he would feel really uncomfortable going into some of the fancy theater spaces or even like the little scruffy black box spaces I'd been to. And I didn't want to do theater that would leave people out. So I also wanted to find audiences that would really care about the stories that we were telling as theater artists. And so it turns out I decided to take theater to where people were rather than expecting them to come to me. So every 10,000 things, it's evolved over the 20 years that I've been doing it. But now we're sort of at the point where every show we will take to 7 or 8 correctional facilities. We will perform it at 8 or 9 low-income community centers. That could be homeless shelters, adult ed centers, battered women's centers, low-income senior centers. And then we also do about half of our shows for paying members of the general public. So each production we do gets taken to all those different places and gets stretched in all kinds of ways by all the different kinds of human beings that watch it.
There's a paradigm now that we're learning about in social work, in folks that are working with folks experiencing homelessness or who are dealing with issues of mental illness or addiction, that says meet people where they are. And this is something that you've been doing literally now for 20 plus years.
Yeah, and you know, the funny reason we've been doing it is oddly because it makes us better theater artists. Our audiences have very rich life experiences. A lot of them are hard won, and we find that by going to perform for them, we actually have to dig deeper to be really honest and really match the truth of their lives and be really clear and urgent. And, you know, in the Twin Cities, I work with some of the best actors in town who also, you know, perform at the Guthrie or the Jungle Theater or Penumbra Theater regularly. But they love doing this work because I think everyone comes away from a 10,000 Things tour feeling like they've been made a better actor because of our audiences, who are awesome.
You write, for this audience anyway, theater was about life, not just aesthetic choices.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just a wonderful line. And you also talked about how you need to imagine what folks are like so that you can try to connect in the most genuine and honest way possible. But in order to do that, you have to make some assumptions. And there are pitfalls to making assumptions, but there are worse pitfalls to not making assumptions. Can you explain that just a little?
That's right. Yeah, you know, it's so funny. Once I started doing theater for non-traditional audiences, I started to realize that pretty much a lot of theater is done for upper-middle-class white audiences because, quite honestly, that's who usually goes. That's who can afford to go. That's who has the time to go and the money to buy the ticket. But when I started doing theater for people who didn't fit in that little profile, all of a sudden I found that there were all kinds of other choices that I could make as I started to imagine, like, how a homeless person might see the story or how an incarcerated person might read the story or how a low-income senior might see the story. All of a sudden, I started to be able to imagine it in all different kinds of ways. So it's really been a gift to be as a director, and it made me realize that I think a lot of plays, without maybe their writers realizing it, are written for people who sit on cushions of wealth. But when you start imagining people who don't have that cushion of wealth underneath them, suddenly the stakes of things become much higher and much more urgent. When you know you might not be able to find a bed for the night or a meal for the day. Those things are really important in a way that, like, your divorce or your relationships with your roommates or your career path aren't really as important as those things. So, yeah, performing for all different kinds of people have made us as artists really consider things from all kinds of different points of view besides just the traditional sort of upper middle class theater audience.
And you talk about the barriers, not only that theater presents to the audience, but that the audience presents to the company performing a show, and how there are a bunch of barriers that the experienced theater going audience has put up because they have seen so much theater. But there are also barriers that the audiences that you strive to touch have put up. The things that are going on in their own lives, their perhaps resentment or suspicion of, oh, do-gooders coming in to tell me how to be, blah, blah, blah. You write that the way to get through these barriers is to blast through with honesty, humility, focus, and playfulness. And I guess my final question for you this morning is, what else can you blast through, do you think, with those four things?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people, a lot of our audiences who haven't ever seen theater before think they're not going to like it. They really don't want to see it. And it takes a lot of encouragement on the part of staff to get them to come try it. They think that theater is just for rich people or that it's boring or that you have to have a college education to see it. But once they get there and they start to see it, and you have to remember we don't use a stage. We just sort of perform in any big room inside a circle of chairs, and all the lights in the room are on, and you're really, really close to the best actors in town. And we're telling stories like Shakespeare or Greek tragedy or musicals or Brecht that really have to do with issues that they're wrestling with in their lives. That suddenly what they, even though they have all these suspicions about what it might be, when they sense that we are being really respectful of their intelligence and their imagination and their life experience, those walls come down really quickly, and they sort of open up their hearts as human beings, and they respond to what the actors are giving them. And lots of times they'll shout out comments to the act, to the characters in the play, and there's this wonderful exchange that happens. And we learn from them, and they learn from us. And so, yeah, you know, humility, honesty, sense of humor, those kind of things can go a long way towards blasting down the barriers we sort of put up towards each other so often in life.
Michelle, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It was wonderful to talk with you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and you asked really great questions.
Michelle, go ahead.
I hope if any of your folks are down in the Twin Cities, you'll come try a 10,000 Things show, because we perform for the general public, and hopefully we'll make it up to the Duluth area again soon.
I think it's about time. Thanks,
okay.
Michelle.
Thanks, Lisa.
Michelle Hensley is the author of a book for everyone involved in theater or not. It's called All the Lights On, Reimagining Theater with 10,000 Things. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and also by the bookstore at Fitgers, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitgers on Superior Street. Online at FitgersBookstore.com.